And I felt my heart starting to race just as that song continues. It's the power of the words and the music as it really invites us in to experience that in a different way. Several years ago, when I was the director of Campus Life Youth for Christ in town, we were taking a couple busloads of teenagers out to Colorado for our annual ski trip. And that trip always had a story or several stories with it, most of them good. This particular year, there were several guys from one of the high schools in town that I was working with that were going, guys I was really tied into, developed a relationship, playing basketball, doing some different things over the month. But these guys had hard stories, difficult journeys, tough family situations, and no exposure to church at all. I mean, vast majority of them had never been to church, no experience or sense of God's great love for them. It just was all new. And so I was really conscious of that going into this trip. And this trip, because it was so big, we hired a speaker to come in because I felt like they needed another voice, a different perspective to talk about and present and open this up to them a little bit. And the second night is a friend of mine from Denver. He got up and in front of the group and said, you know, I just feel led right now to sing a song for you guys. And he set that up and proceeded to start doing that. Now, you got to understand, for me, I'm seeing this and feeling this through the world of these guys, right? And I'm dying inside because, let's face it, this guy was a much better speaker than he was a singer. And I was like, oh, boy, they're already a little weirded out by this whole journey. And I'm wrestling with it. And so I'm thinking through it and looking it through their eyes. And this guy begins to sing Amazing Grace. And as he got through the first verse and into the second, something started to happen. These guys started to break, and emotions started to flow. And one by one, it just kind of changed the whole night. And you know what? The speaker that night didn't need to speak. It whole changed. We had a unique encounter with God. Those guys did, and we as leaders did it. We'll never forget. In fact, I was with one of these guys last week at an event we were doing with 20 businessmen out in Colorado. He flew in to join us. 20 years later from that event, the man still walking with God, still chasing God, still pursuing God, and would point to that night as a pivotal moment in his life where his life started to turn. Amazing. Amazing grace. And how I could best describe to you what happened was really through the words of that song that night. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone that's messed up like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And those teenagers that night began to see for the first time. To see and experience God. That's what happened. And that's kind of my prayer as I sit here and process and think of what God could do here in these next few minutes. You know, the Bible is an inspired word of God, and it embodies the very foundation of our faith. But it's also a book of great, incredible stories, amazing stories of God pursuing people, of God pursuing us, and of people who have come to a point in their lives of great success or personal failure, of struggle and heartache, that have come to a point in their life where they've got to commit themselves to something bigger. They are seeking something bigger than themselves. And so it's a book of stories of people seeking God in unique ways, in powerful ways, in life-changing ways. My favorite of the whole works for me is hidden in three small verses in Mark 2. And so if you do got a Bible, you want to open that to that. Mark 2, verse 2 through 5. I just wanted to read that for you quick. It's an amazing encounter. And many were gathered together so that there was no room, even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening in the roof, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, which is awesome, wasn't just one, but seeing the group of men's faith, said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And a few verses later, in verse 11, he says, "Rise, take up your pallet, and go home." Now, that's a powerful encounter. Don't miss the heart of this story. Jesus is in town. Jesus is in their town, and the word's getting out on this guy. People that come in contact, encounter him, are being changed. Their stories, their lives, their emotions, their physical bodies, they're being changed. And the man is in town, and there is such a crowd around him, and such packed in where he's teaching in that house, and no one can get in or out. And you got to imagine the streets and the community around him where he was at. It had to be a buzz. People had to be talking. Much like if we were downtown and a crowd was gathering, there was excitement and people were looking, and he'd probably head over there to see what was going on, right? There's a lot of action probably around him and around the house and in the streets. And amongst this scene comes four guys carrying their buddy on mission to get this man to the foot of Jesus, carrying their friend who couldn't get there himself, willing to do whatever it takes to get their friend to the foot of Christ. And they do, right? They fight the crowds. They get up on the roof somehow. They dig a hole in the roof. They get what they need to do to lower their friend to the foot of Jesus in the hope that that could change his life. A few things about these guys that I wanted to mention. They're dreamers, right? These guys are dreamers. And life has a way sometimes of knocking our dreams down a little bit. Sometimes things happen, just we get busy. The pace gets fast. Disappointments build up and cause us to step away from our dreams, and specifically our dream of really having a life-changing encounter with Christ. Sometimes we settle. These guys hadn't done that. They were dreamers, but they were much more than dreamers. They were risk takers. They stepped out. They made a move toward Christ. They put their reputations, I would say, and their pride, certainly, on the line in terms of how they did it to make it happen, because they had an unyielding, unwavering commitment that said, if we could just get our friend to the foot of Christ, if we can just get our friend to the foot of Jesus, that encounter could change everything. And they believed that, obviously, with their whole heart. You could make a case that these guys were reckless in their pursuit, couldn't you? I mean, have you ever thought about this story in the sense of whose house this was? I mean, whose house was this? Was this one of theirs or somebody else's, and does it matter? I mean, they crawled up and took the roof off, dug a hole. I mean, you know, whose house was it? These guys were recklessly pursuing God and recklessly pursuing that encounter. For sure, they were relentless. You could say that. They were relentless in their pursuit of an encounter with Christ, pushing through any obstacle, not content to stay, absolutely resolved to the fact that staying at home, settling, not taking a step toward Christ was not an option. They had to move. They had to go to where Jesus was. They were relentless in their pursuit of Christ. It begs a question for you and I this morning. What does that look like for us? What does that look like to pursue God with the hope and the dream that I encounter could change everything? What does it look like to have a relentless, ongoing, committed pursuit, a passion for Christ that just is not affected by the obstacles in front of us? One last thing about these guys is they didn't do this alone. They did this short journey together. You had to think, as they were crawling up on the roof and pulling their friend up and starting to dig, that one or two of them was thinking, what are we doing? Right? I mean, you had to think of it. But probably the other guys would keep digging, bro. I mean, keep digging. We got to get our friend down there. Something could happen here. And how about the guy that's being lowered down to the crowd and to Jesus? Can you think of a more intensely lonely moment than at that moment? Is there ever a more vulnerable, lonely moment than that, as they lower him down in front of everybody? So there was intense individual moments on this journey, but they also did it together. And as they lowered him to the foot of Jesus, in the hope that things could change, you know what they did? Things did change. His life was rocked. And so was theirs. Can you imagine those four guys up on the roof trying to catch a peek of what was going on down there? And when they see him pick up his pallet and walk out of there, what that must have been like? Oh my gosh, it would have been amazing. I mean, what a moment for all those guys, a life-changing moment, an encounter with Christ. Lord, help us to do that. Pray with me. Help us to have that kind of anticipation, that kind of hope, Lord, that an encounter with you can change things. In these next few minutes we have a chance to worship again, and we have a chance to enter communion in a different way, to share that together, to do that together. Help us to do that with an intensity and a relentlessness that won't change. Help us to remember, Lord, what you've done for us and how you've uniquely met each of us in our own stories. Reinstill in us a passion, the dream, the hope, the belief that not only is an encounter with you possible, but it can be life-changing for us. Thank you for the reminder in Proverbs 8 that those that diligently seek you will find you. Help us diligently, hopefully, relentlessly seek you with all we've got, not only in these next minutes, but in the moments, the day-to-day moments of the weeks and months ahead of us. Amen.